And we're back. Trust the Gut Daily Fantasy Podcast. Clemens Dook on one end, Blaine Jungworth on the other. Blaine, are you there?
I'm here now. I'm here.
Man, I was curious, what have you been up to? What's been going on? It's been at least, I don't know, 2 weeks or so since we last had our podcast. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I got caught up in the NCAA tournament. I can't even speak now. It's just too exciting.
Yeah, what's the game that's on right now?
Wisconsin, North Carolina, and Wichita State, Notre Dame.
Ooh, those shockers.
Shocking.
Yeah, they're shockingly shocking.
Yeah.
Is Wiggins' brother still playing for the Wichita State Shockers?
No, he was a senior last year.
Well, it's been a pretty interesting last couple 2 weeks for us in terms of daily fantasy sports, especially at the basketball end. We had some nice success, also had some humbling failure. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the success we've had over the last 2 weeks or so?
Oh, yeah. We finished, I think, in the top 20 or 30.
I think it was top 32.
Of the sharpshooter on Friday.
Yeah, I think it was top 32 last Thursday. Could have been a little bit better. Had Trey Burke done a little bit more in the second half, but
he missed the three late, and then he missed a couple layups that would have put us up in the top five. So he cost us. I sent him a bill on Venmo, and we'll see if he gets back to me.
What did you caption that bill on Venmo? Benoit Balls Burks or something?
I know some people who know some people that got me his personal Facebook, and I just linked up to him on Venmo. So
nice.
I'm expecting that check in the mail any day now. Although actually, it's virtual check in the virtual mail any day now.
Well, hey, there's a lot of virtuality going on right there. I hope I can vicariously live through it to experience it. Yeah, you know, I was just looking back at that the other night. We were pretty much Langston Galloway for Trey Burke away from winning it all.
Yeah. We'd have bought some custom Breitlings.
Everybody
feel some type of way.
Yeah, man, some type of way.
I can't get over that song like 2 years after it came out.
Hey, there's music like that, man. There's music like that right now that's going on. And, you know, I mean, I was just listening to some Chance the Rapper earlier today. I can't get over
that. That was 2012, right?
Yeah.
That thing still goes.
Yeah, acid rap goes almost 3 years later. So yeah, we were pretty much just Langston Galloway away from taking down the entire thing. Everything was under the $50,000 salary cap, and it just came down to playing Langston Galloway. And isn't it impressive how close we've become on some of these cards and some of these nights that we're playing daily fantasy basketball?
Our success rate has gone way up, it seems like, over the past few weeks. As we've gotten kind of more experience, and then we've just kept watching the games and got more familiar with some of these injury situations and some of these fringe players. Lorenzo Brown, looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a good run at it the last few days.
Now speak a little bit more about, I was going to ask, thank you for leading into the next question. I was going to ask, like, what other factors or facets of playing daily fantasy or just the game in general have you feel that we've hit on or we've picked up on and we've kind of exploited as we've gone on? I mean, it's only been a month and a half, almost 2 months now, since we started doing this podcast and doing daily fantasy. Like, where do you see us figuring it out and picking up where we weren't picking up earlier in February and stuff?
Well, I've just figured out how to make it look like I'm doing work while I'm checking injury reports while I'm at work. It's pretty genius. So
wait, are you telling me that you figured out a way to do the boss button for the NCAA tournament thing while you're doing daily fantasy?
I guess so.
That's impressive.
The nice thing is I don't have to worry about my boss ever listening to this, so it's pretty solid.
Hey, it's a good side hustle. It's a good side hustle.
Yeah, it's good. No, it's I think it's just kind of Basketball Monster was a huge discovery. That is like the best fantasy website, I think. Just the status updates page alone is invaluable because it updates real time, and I don't think I've ever seen it actually be wrong. Have you?
Only in, you know, Kevin Martin and everything that happened on Monday.
Kevin Martin. Yeah, we aren't speaking anymore after that.
Yeah, but I mean, I've hardly ever seen it be wrong. I mean, yeah. I think unless it's like a Kevin Martin situation where they update it at the last second, even then they're right. Like, he didn't play. They have the caveat, like, he's dressed and he's available to play, limited minutes off the bench. But they're like, I doubt he played. He didn't see a lick of playing time or just even the floor. So, they're pretty good. And actually, Basketball Monster is run by, I think it's Matt Boozer, B-U-S-E-R. He was a Yahoo Fantasy Sports expert a couple years ago. I don't think he works there anymore, but, like, he's a consultant for Yahoo and, like, I can't think of who else he consults for, but, like, he and a couple other dudes, they run that whole Basketball Monster, Baseball Monster. I'm pretty sure they're going to have a football one, too. But they've got that entire thing locked down, and I love the real-time updates and the real-time injury news. I mean, we've been riding that for the entire last, like, week and a half, thanks to the Timberwolves deciding to tank, but not tank, really. I mean, they're old guys that have nothing to really play for, so it's mostly just about the same seven or eight guys a night. And that's a team we've been really digging on and using a lot of. Same with the Lakers. I mean, they had a great game last night. Do you want to speak a little bit about that game?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say the game was great, but it was great for if you had any of those value players.
Yeah, it was, I mean, and going off of that, talking about value players, the guys that really came through last night were Lorenzo Brown with 8 points, 9 rebounds, a couple of assists here or there. I mean, he was 2 points and a rebound away from this just an out-of-nowhere double-double when, you know, if you play on DraftKings, that double-double bonus comes in huge. It sets you apart from one tier to the next. It's impressive. And then Chase Budinger, 4,100, goes off for 35 points. So he makes close to 9 times his value. It's just invaluable to have that resource to know who's going to play, when they'll play, if they'll play. And if they don't, pick up the next guy in line. And it's been fantastic in that regard.
Yeah, I would agree with that, 100%.
So how much did we end up taking down that last Thursday? It was 150, something like that, right?
Yeah, I think it was 150 bucks.
Yeah.
We were a couple free throws and a missed three away from, I think, a couple times that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You live and you learn, you live and you grow and all that stuff. And then we got pretty humbled, like, the next couple of days.
Yeah, we got kind of fired up over our nice little night that we decided to thought we were that hot shit, and we got kind of killed the next couple of days. But
yeah, we got Bobby Schmurted, basically. I haven't said like this since, like, the fifth grade, you know, stuff like that. So we just got, like, that whole beat. It was crazy. But that aside, this new week, this entire week, we cashed Monday. Didn't cash Tuesday, cashed yesterday.
Didn't just cash yesterday though. We doubled our input there.
We did double our input, and there was a little bit of a strategy that went into why we doubled our input, and that goes down to finally using the core tactic that we kind of took from DFS Nights. And we, you know, used, but we weren't really making it visual for ourselves. And it came through with the spreadsheet. Blaine, kind of talked about the spreadsheet that you developed thanks to your finance degree from Oregon State University.
Finally putting it to good use. I'm glad I could finally use it for something. It's just a pretty basic spreadsheet. DraftKings is really nice because they let you export all of their player salaries to a CSV file. And then we just paste it onto this little Google sheet we have. And we list our core players, and then we, however many lineups we want to play. And then it just kind of grabs our salary, and it basically just tells us you know, how many times each player is being played. It tells us how much we have left per player, so a lot like DraftKings is now. And it just makes it so much more organized. So if we want to play Damian Lillard six times, we can punch him in six times, and then we just go back to our lineups on DraftKings and set each lineup as we go. I mean, we just have like a list of 10 to 12 lineups that we do. And then we just punch those lineups in, and we know we have Lillard in there six times instead of trying to count on just like the My Lineup screen how many times you have a player. Mm-hmm. It really simplifies it.
Yeah, and it also helped out in a way in which there were a couple lineups that we had every single core play in. I'm going to just name guys off the top of the head. Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, EJ Millsap, or Elijah Millsap, who was huge last night. Ryan Kelly, Chase Budinger, you know, like those guys all fit, Lorenzo Brown, they all kind of fit into a couple of lineups that we had, which was nice. And then we were like, well, how much money do we have left? And it allowed us to fit in guys like Paul Millsap, who killed it last night. Guys like Nerlens Noel, who killed it last night. Robert Covington, who killed it last night. Pau Gasol, we fit in to one lineup, just one. He didn't do so hot, but like, you know, when you take a look back at being able to fit in high upside guys like Millsap because of the steals, blocks, and threes, Nerlens Noel because of the steals and blocks, and then Robert Covington because of just threes, and he does almost anything you want from him, except for when he gets in the foul trouble, he can ruin his own game from there. But like, we were able to fit in those guys, and those were upside plays, and guess what? They were not heavily owned. That's what was so interesting about the spreadsheet tactic that we used yesterday was that I think the only guys that were over, I don't know, that were in the double digits were DeMarcus Cousins, Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, and there's one more player that's escaping me that I can't think of. But like, every other play that we had was under 10%. And that's what you're looking for, especially in a GPP. You know, big time GPP like the sharpshooter is every single night. So I'm excited to see where the spreadsheet goes and how it helps us continue to be markedly successful. Because if last night is any indication, I think we're on to some good things. Knocking on all the wood that's around. So
yeah, I really like how much it helps the way we do it with the core plays and then trying to fit them in. It's so much easier just to be able to list them all out like this. Tell us how much salary you have left, who we can fit in there, and then just kind of adjust them as we want, and then just throw them back into DraftKings. Very simple.
Super simple. And, you know, Paul Millsap is a perfect example yesterday of how we were able to get a high salary. Well, he's like a mid-salary at 7, I believe he was. But get a mid-salary, high-upside guy in there around a lot of the lower level dudes, and at least like two other sets. Like, had that OKC game been a little bit closer, Kawhi and Russell play more, and we probably, I don't know, take it down. I think we probably take it down because I don't think anybody else had like Ryan Kelly fighting there and whoever else was in that. Shane Larkin kind of blew it up, but if Shane Larkin had done anything, we're definitely talking about how that Shane Larkin pick was massive. Instead, we're talking about how it's a dub. So, wah, wah.
And Galloway, too.
Galloway. Well, yeah, I don't know. Those Knicks. Let's start with the Knicks, then, before we start going into plays. They're obviously tanking. Shved's hurt and out for the season. Calderon's hurt, out for the season. Is it worth it to try and play them? Like,
yes, depending on the game.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't not want to be on Larkin if he's going to play and there's no other guards available. You know, if he's going to play 35 minutes and he's only 3,000, it's hard not to be on him.
I think
last night it didn't really pan out, but. No.
And here's the reason why I don't think it's
you're starting Shane Larkin, so you're just accepting some degree of risk.
Yeah. With Shane Larkin and that not working out, last night. I want to say 75% of that probably goes on Ricky Leto, just taking shots, just taking every single shot he could. I mean, I think at one point he was the only guy that I saw was that was taking shots. And then there was a weird stretch where Larkin wasn't even in. And then he came back in around the like mid-third quarter, did nothing. He was just like running up and down the court. He was getting in cardio. Like, I guess since I don't play basketball as often as I used to, or just I don't play competitive basketball, I don't understand. Like, how could you just run up and down the court without really wanting to do something every single time down? Or, maybe I just don't get it. If you wanted to go run, why don't you just say, hey, Derek Fisher, I'd like to not play tonight and just go get my run in.
I'd like to just go run. Thanks, Derek. I'll just do some mountains.
Yeah, I'll just, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Highline Park and I'll just run up and down from, like, Manhattan to Chelsea. Like, that's all I really want to do right now. But yeah, the Knicks play tomorrow, don't they? They play the Boston Celtics.
They do play the Celtics.
Do you see any value in any Knicks players tomorrow? That's just the first question, game related off the bat. Do you see any value for anybody on that Knicks team tomorrow?
I mean, yes and no. There has to be somebody has to score. I mean, it's just the Boston perimeter defenders are so good. It's hard to trust Shved or Galloway.
Well, Shved's not going to play, man. He's out for like 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, is he out for that long?
Yeah, and I mean they've got nothing to play for. So him being out, he's just out. It's going to be a combination of like Leto, Larkin, Tim Hardaway Jr. is not going to play. I think the one dude that has a little bit of value, not a ton, is Ricky Leto. He's a scorer. He doesn't do too much else. But, I mean, a 3K, all you're really asking to do is hit 15, and that's not very hard. That's just a couple of buckets.
Yeah, but we said the same thing about Larkin, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yes, there's value on the Knicks because everybody's hurt. But, man, it's just I'm not going to be dying to mix in a bunch of Knicks into my lineups tomorrow.
No, not at all. However, on the other side of that coin are the Boston Celtics. Sorry for that long pause, but are the Boston Celtics. where do you go there if you're looking to play anybody? I mean, I don't think – we haven't written anybody down on the spreadsheet from the Celtics at all. Kelly Olynyk kind of busted last night. And his price didn't go up either, which is pretty good. But do you trust any Celtics? Who do you trust? Where do you go? Who do you love? As a young YG 400.
I think I trust Brandon Bass. I don't really see the Knicks keeping him from rebounding. I mean, it's going to be him versus Amundsen and Bagnarni. Wow, I just completely butchered his name.
That's okay. He's cool with it, I think. No, he's not cool with it. Bagnarni.
Bagnarni?
The G moves silent like lasagna. That's all good.
Bagnarni. He may as well be a Bagnarni.
Yeah. He's soft like a lasagna.
Bagnarni. Yeah.
He sounds like an Italian food dish, actually.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Kind of does, really.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's actually a food dish in Italy called the Bagnarni.
The Bagnarni.
What would that
soft.
Be?
Soft. They boil it in water for like 8 hours to make sure it's extra soft.
What else would they put in it? Would it be like a manicotti? Would they stuff it with something, or would it just be like a super soft noodle?
I don't know. With Bagnarni, I think. For Bagnarni especially, they would make it extra cheesy, for one.
Because of the hair.
Yeah, it would just be full of pasta and practically nothing else, because all he does is shoot the ball. Mm. So it would be full of the Bagnarni pasta, and that's it.
Mm. So like empty carb kind of thing? Like just carbs and nothing else? like carbo.
Yeah, loaded? I think that's what the Bargnani is.
Mm. So like no extra sauce, which would be like rebound. No extra.
No. Like no, just like pasta and cheese. I think the Bargnani.
Oh, that's gross. That's like a might as well just get yourself a regular cheese pizza at that point.
Yep.
Ugh.
That's it. Yep.
Disgusting.
I wouldn't want the Bargnani on my team or on my plate.
I wouldn't even look at it. I'd ask for something else.
Yeah.
Waiter, come over here. Let me talk to you for a second. I can't eat this. It looks gross. Just a waste. How much is this? $100? You got me crazy. Get the hell out of my face.
I think isn't it like $60 million over 4 years?
Ugh. Gross. And you know what's so funny is I love this saying on 2K14 where Doris Burke, whenever you're playing the Knicks, Doris Burke is talking about Andrea Bargnani. And they say, and she goes, and the Knicks were just super excited to get Andrea Bargnani. They didn't care the cost. It's just like,
well, I mean, maybe they were excited to get Andrea Bargnani.
I just don't understand it. Just do not get it. All right, let's just dive on into some plays, some core plays. Where are you looking at first to build a core?
I'm gonna go with Damian Lillard. Ooh. I think I like him tomorrow. He seems to have turned it on the last couple games. He might be pulling a Spurs and then just getting better as we approach the playoffs. I mean, that's my hope for both the Blazers and for, you know, our purposes. But
yeah, and I think we had spoken a little bit during that last road trip that if he wants to continue to be an all-star or even just make an all-star team legitimately without having to get voted in or like commissioned in, he's got to shoot and just take over games because we know we can take over games. We've seen him do it multiple times against the Spurs, killed the Rockets, he almost brought him back against the Warriors a year ago or 2 years ago where he dropped like 39. He dropped that huge three-pointer from, like...
Was that his rookie year?
That might have been his rookie year. We dropped that...
Yeah, because I thought that was, like, his first game in Oakland, and it was, like, a big deal that he was just killing it.
Okay, I misspoke. But, yeah, but that game was... He almost brought him back in that game, too. Like, he can take over games. We know this. I think he just needs to do it consistently. I like him as a play tomorrow as well. He was a big play and a big reason we were able to cash in two cards last night. I mean, and he was also one of those Paul Millsap guys. Just, we have enough money. Let's fit in Damian Lillard. Why not?
Yeah.
Any...
The matchup wasn't exactly appealing, but with Gobert in the middle. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, he paid off big time. He does, like, this thing where he's marketed like he's, like, the alpha dog. Like, he's, you know, a premier point guard, which he is. But he's just way too passive. Even when Aldridge is off the floor, he needs to be way more aggressive looking for his shot. Because he's not really like a Chris Paul type. I don't know if he tries to be, and that's why his numbers kind of suffer sometimes. But he doesn't need to be like that. His game is much more about him getting his shots.
And then everything else flows from him getting his shots.
Yeah, because when you have to guard him out to 28 feet, it just opens everything else on the court up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... I know that he probably just he's still trying to figure it out, but at the same time, it's like this is his team, and it's his team and Lillard and Aldridge's team, and when one or the other isn't off, when Lillard's not on the floor, Aldridge takes over and does remarkably just fantastic. Even when Lillard's on the floor, Aldridge takes over. I just think Lillard defers a little bit too much. And he just needs to step into those shoes and do it because he can do it. We've seen him do it. It's just he needs to continually do it, and they'll be fine from there.
Yeah, I mean the Blazers are so tough when him and Aldridge have it going. It's like that fourth quarter last night was literally him and Aldridge just totally carrying the team. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, and that just needs to be something that happens consistently.
Yep,
and it's not. Moving on, though, that's a good play. I like kind of my guy. I like Jonas Valanciunas. He's my guy for a couple of reasons. I liked him going into the draft that he his draft year. The only reason I hesitate and I have a lot of like, is because Dwayne Casey, I don't know how he still has a job or if he'll still have a job at the end of the season, just doesn't want to utilize the guy. His teammates don't really want to utilize him. And if he's not getting points off of hustle, you know, putbacks and stuff, he's just kind of running up and down the court, getting the good cardio and bumping bodies. But here's the good thing. He's going up against the Lakers. And what do you do when you go up against the Lakers? You punish him inside. Here's another reason why it's a good thing that he's going up against the Lakers. Or a good reason to play him since he's going up against the Lakers. They're not going to be playing Jordan Hill. They're not going to be playing Carlos Boozer. Because they want to give time to Tarik Black, who is 6'7". Robert Sacre, who I don't know why he's in the league or even thinks about getting why he gets time. And Ed Davis, who should be getting more time than Robert Sacre and Tarik Black combined. Those guys aren't legit seven-footers. I don't see them being more than just small impediments in the way of Jonas Valanciunas. However, the only thing that gets between JV and getting you a W or getting you a lot of points is Dwayne Casey. And that's about it. So I really like him as a core play. I think I'd probably get him into three or four lineups tomorrow if I had to and I wanted to. But center's pretty deep enough as it is, and at under 6,000, Jonas Valanciunas is a great play. So that's my 2 cents right there.
What do you think of Victor Oladipo tomorrow?
I like him. With a caveat. I like him when the opposition he's playing is either at his level or like just a tier below it. If it's above him, it's like the team that he's playing is above him and his teammates, he suffers. Because he'll go off for a really good first quarter like he did last night against the Hawks. But then he'll just kind of like tank, or he'll be on the court but he won't do too much. So I like him in a couple of lineups, or I like him, you know, in a few, but not everywhere. What is he priced at tomorrow?
I think 7,900.
7,900. And I haven't really looked at shooting guard as a whole. I don't know if I'd be gung-ho on getting him in everything. I mean, Avery Bradley went up to 6K. That's kind of expensive. Danny Green's at 5'8", and he looks like he's turning it on a little bit. Shooting guard kind of looks like a wasteland tomorrow, but I don't know. I'd have to sleep on it. I think to really feel excited about it. Is he a player that you're eyeing pretty tough, or you like?
No. That's why I asked what you think about it.
I mean, I don't know. DK, DraftKings has the Pistons as the 26th worst team against the shooting guard. And let's look at some of his numbers, or like his splits against them. I mean, 29. He'd have to, and everybody came back for the Magic yesterday, which is another thing that you have to remember. Like, he'd been putting up pretty decent totals without Harris there. And when you get another guy in the perimeter, that takes away from his opportunity and chances to do things. I think if you're looking at that game, you got to go front court for Orlando, or you go front court in Detroit and you look at Reggie Jackson, probably.
Yeah, that game should be pretty friendly for DFS, I think.
I think I'd feel better playing Elfrid Payton tomorrow, more so than I would playing Victor Oladipo.
Interesting. And LPP?
Yeah, I feel better about LPP, even though Detroit's supposedly second against the point guard. I like I like the usage rate that LPP's been putting up recently. And even if he's not scoring, he's been getting the counting stats that you want. I mean, he almost had a double-double last night against the Hawks and was like 3 assists away from a triple-double even. So, I don't know. I think LPP's upside or ability to make good on his 7-8 is better than Victor Oladipo's chances to make good on his 7-9.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's more or less how we've done it. Is there a lineup that you've been thinking about or you have tried constructing in the spreadsheet, or like a couple other core plays that you have aside from Damian Lillard that you want to discuss? Or
if I think Hayward just got upgraded to probable tomorrow, so he's probably going to play. But if he doesn't, you got to look at Elijah Millsap again, I think. And then the other one is Lorenzo Brown again, as long as Kevin Martin's out. Those are the two guys that if the starters are out and they're going to play, you got to plug them in at like $3,000 or whatever they cost.
Yeah, I like Lorenzo Brown. Like I stated earlier in the podcast, he was 2 points and a rebound away from a double-double. I mean, let's break it down right there. He was marked at, what, 3,100 yesterday?
Yeah, 3,100.
So we've got 10 points, and then we've got 10 rebounds. That's 12.5, plus the 1.5 for the bonus. That's 14, plus 10 is 24. He's already hit, what, 8 times value?
Yep.
And then he mixed in a couple of, like, a 3 and a couple of assists or something like that. Dude, that's money in the bank. And if, you know, you're one of like 200 people out of 30,000 that are playing him, talk about upside and just like differentiation and everything. I definitely like Lorenzo Brown. Are there any other Timberwolves you like for tomorrow?
Are there any other Timberwolves?
Yeah.
I haven't really looked at them aside. I guess Budinger again. I mean, it's really just as dependent on the injury situation. But, I mean, if Martin doesn't play, you got to look at Budinger again. He's had a couple huge games in a row, I think. I think he's gone over... Yeah, he's over 30 the last two games. Levine's interesting, but he's getting expensive, and I'm not dying to play him at 5,300. Just he doesn't... He hasn't gone over 36 points since, I guess, 4 games ago against the Knicks. But he's played 47 minutes a night, and he's only gotten 35 points and 31 points. If you're playing 47 minutes a night, you should be getting higher than that. You should be getting 40 points a night. So he just doesn't do it for me.
How much of a premium are you putting fantasy points per minute on players this late in the season and this late in the this late in the DFS season, and also just like with the consistency that we've been having, how much stock are you putting in fantasy points per minute?
Well, if you're like a 3,000, if you're a minimum salary player, but you're going to get 30 minutes or whatever, it doesn't really matter what your fantasy points per minute is, because you can have like, you know, half a fantasy point a minute and still hit 5 times value. But when you get up into the mid 5,000s, like Levine is now, then that actually becomes a factor for me. You need to be able to produce even when your shot's not going. That's one thing that Levine, I mean, really, in that Utah game, he put up 35.75, but he hit 3 garbage time threes in a row late, I think all with like under a minute left, to push him up to 20, I think it was 20. He was like at 25 points, got up to 36. So,
yeah, and that was kind of funny because I was reading a game recap. He was like, you know, I've just got the confidence to take that shot. I'm just a shooter. And it's just like, you weren't a shooter in college.
And yeah, all of a sudden, you really haven't been a shooter your whole life, it seems like. So. Yeah,
so it's just interesting. That's just apropos of nothing, and how some basketball players, like, you just have to have that air of confidence and arrogance and cockiness about you. Just be like, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. So, he's interesting. And going off of the fantasy points per minute, I wanted to talk a little bit about the back and forth I had with you regarding Joe Ingles and his fantasy points per minute kind of thing against the Blazers. In the two games that he played, averaged over 33 minutes a game, but he hadn't done anything with them. And I remember up until, I think it was like 15, 20 minutes before the game started, I was like, dude, I don't feel confident about Joe Ingles. I just don't think it's going to happen. We got to move off of him. We have to move off of him. And a lot of what was going on in my head was, he just doesn't do anything with those minutes against the Blazers. I was just specifically looking at it through the versus the Blazers mindset. And second thought, now that he played well, I'm glad we didn't go off him. I'm glad that you just were like, nah, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. So just kind of an interesting counter argument to, you know, a guy like Levine where you're just like, he gets the minutes. He's been doing a little bit of something with them. But now he's getting a lot and he's not doing anything with them, versus Joe Ingles, where the roster spot the opportunity opened with Hayward out, and now, you know, he's been putting in the work and doing some things with those minutes. That sounded like so much Nate McMillan right there. he started to accrue those counting stats and make a couple shots here and there. So And that's just trusting the gut. And you were very adamant on, you know, sticking with Joe Ingles. And, dude, that's awesome right there. So, high five to trust the gut, Blaine Jugwort right there.
Well, to be fair, you did the same thing with Ryan Kelly, and that paid off as well. So, equal credit due.
Yeah. And then there's also a couple the other night. It was KCP, and I had KCP. And who was the guy that you had? On Monday, it was like,
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I think you might have had, like, was it Reggie Jackson or maybe. Let's I don't see. Know.
The one we cashed in on Monday?
Yeah. We both had a player on Monday, too, that we were very, very adamant on. And like, I remember specifically KCP, you were like, okay, wow me. Give me your 30-second elevator speech on why KCP is the play today. And boom, I did it. We stuck with it. It worked out well because he goes off and scores like, I don't know, 45, 48 fantasy points against the Raptors. And we were so close to getting some more, but overtime was not to happen.
Yeah. Let me see. That was on the 23rd, right? I can probably tell you. I'm curious now because I don't remember. I had a terrible memory.
Hey, it happens when you play. You gotta have a short memory in DFS. You can't be holding on to things.
Yeah, was it? It wasn't Drummond, was it?
No, I don't think we played Drummond everywhere, or we played him in one, but we didn't play him everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, we're on to the next day. Speaking of point guards, or just speaking of guard, now specifically a point guard, John Wall. Tomorrow against Charlotte, he's under 9K. Charlotte has not been very good against point guards. John Wall almost brought the Wizards back against the Pacers yesterday. How do you feel about John Wall at 8'6"?
I don't know. 8'6" is a lot, and it feels like there's a lot of value at point guard, especially right now, just with all the injuries and stuff. I'm not dying to spend over $8,500 on a point guard.
The only reason I mention it is because of that specific reason. Not a lot of people are going to want to pay up for John Wall tomorrow.
That's very true.
If you were okay, so let's say let me rephrase the question or rephrase the idea. If you were making 25 lineups, how much exposure to John Wall would you have relative to guys like Damian Lillard, Jeremy Lin, Jordan Clarkson, Gravis Vasquez, I don't know, Elfrid Payton? That's like five or six other point guards that I think could do just as well, if not better, at their price point than John Wall tomorrow. How many shares, like what percentage of those 25 would John Wall be in?
Three or four?
Three or four.
Maybe less. Two.
That's not bad. Oh, hey, hey, 3 or 4 is where you're at. Don't drop down to 2, because I said, okay.
I mean, well, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean, I would probably in 25 lineups. So how about this? I'd probably have Lillard in 40% of my lineups.
Okay.
As a point guard. Clarkson or Lynn, I'd probably have in 20% of my lineups.
So those guys combined would be in about 5. Yeah. So you got 50, so you got 10 left.
Yeah, so you're I would probably go with maybe a Galloway or something down like that, the Knicks point guard, because you never know with them.
Yeah.
That Darren Williams crazy. Doesn't look bad at 5,600, so I'd probably have a little bit of exposure to him.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad.
I mean, Marcus Smart, kind of, just because the Knicks are so atrocious. I don't know. I don't think I'd have very much exposure at all to John Wall.
Okay. Well, there. That's a great way to. That's how I think we could use exposure and lineup when we're doing our constructions. Like, out of 25, how many times do you play a certain player?
Yeah.
Because that kind of, I mean, you just opened my eyes to a guy like Darren Williams, even, who I initially hadn't thought of as a play to have. But Cleveland's been pretty meh against point guards this season. Brolo's been playing pretty well. I mean, I could see some dime droppage going on in that game. And it's not like the Cavaliers' defense has gotten crazy good, right? It's been pretty meh. They played against the Grizzlies pretty well last night, but I'd probably chalk that up to the Grizzlies not being very offensively explosive, more so than the Cavaliers being a defensive.
Yeah, they also just don't really match up well, I don't think, with the Cavs, the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I could see that happening. And then moving on from, like, point guards, we talked about a couple of not too many shooting guards, because it's kind of a wasteland tomorrow. That one's going to be like a Russian roulette. If you want to play James Harden, you play James Harden, but you got to figure out how to fit everybody else around him. Center. Is center another place where you see a lot of value? Because I look at center and I see a guy like Brook Lopez at 7,000. Jonas Valanciunas, who I mentioned. And then you've also got Nikola Vucevic, who's under 8. Not a bad, I don't think that's a bad play. Is center another place where you find value in the front court, or are you going to go look at power forward instead?
Center is pretty loaded tomorrow. I definitely would want exposure to some of the higher priced guys. Gobert is one. Vucevic is one. Brook Lopez is one. But there's, I mean, like you said, there's tons of value at cheaper guys tomorrow too. That's definitely a place where you can spend a little less and then spend up elsewhere. So spend up at like a shooting guard to get Bledsoe or Harden, a small forward to get LeBron, and then just save at point guard and center.
So point guard, center, value plays, spend up potentially at the 2 and the 3, and then what do you do at the 4? Before we get into like guard forward utility, like who do you like at power forward? We got Anthony Davis going against the Sacramento Kings, who don't play the power forward position very well at all.
Yeah, that's you got to start there for sure. That's unfair, really.
I mean, there's Brow. Blake Griffin doesn't intrigue me at all. He's still coming back slow. They're up against Philadelphia.
Brandon Bassett intrigues me at 5,300.
Another guy that really gets me going, or like doesn't grind my gears at the power forward position, Derek Favors. I don't mind Derek Favors tomorrow.
Even if Hayward comes back?
Nope. Not much. I mean, I think his usage will probably stay the same. Shoulder injuries, especially with grade 1 things, which could turn into subluxations if you're not careful. you know, separated ones. Pretty high. I don't think he'll be able to shoot too much. I think he probably spends more time playmaking than shooting and scoring. And I doubt he'd want to throw his weight around rebounding. So the rebounding opportunities go to Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert. And it's against Denver in Denver. That's going to be a up and down game. Denver's front court defense isn't the best, so I'd probably fade a lot of the Denver Nuggets playing against Utah tomorrow and go up on the Jazz. So, and plus, it's like the second to last game of the night, so it's pretty nice to have another late night stack like we had last night with who was it? Who was that game? With the OKC Spurs game, and then ending it with the Kings against the Suns. That was kind of nice because everybody had played, and all we had to do was have Boogie just kind of carry us up the mountain for close to 40, which he did, and it worked out fine.
Yeah, Boogie was huge. Then Marcus Morris had a huge fourth quarter too.
Yeah, that really Marcus helped. Morris looked like dog meat for the first three and a half quarters, and then he decided to turn it on a little bit. I mean, that last three that he hit literally jumped us up $15.
Yep.
Knocked one down five, knocked another one up $15, and we were able to finish top 200 or something like that. No, 201st. So that was important. How do you feel about power forward again still? Paul Millsap, our boy Paul Millsap. How do you feel about him tomorrow?
Oh man, he looks good tomorrow. I like him a lot. I mean, if looking at that Miami front court, Anderson, I don't know if he's gonna play. Whiteside's not gonna play. Sounds like I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe they stick Luol Deng on him, but he had a monster first quarter against who did they play? Orlando. I the only thing really the concern is the blowout here for Atlanta. But I mean, I guess if he doesn't, he might get rested. Because it's, maybe not. He might get rested because it's a back-to-back, so they might rest him for the first one. But if him or Horford play, you got to look at them. I think the Heat will start Udonis Haslam and Michael Beasley at the 4 and the 5. So that's a, you know, it's, that's not good looks for them.
That's a good call on the fact that he may be rested on the front end of a back-to-back. I totally forgot about that. Because Budenholzer, a.k.a. disciple of Greg Popovich, isn't shy about utilizing that.
Definitely not.
And then it's like, where do you go from there? Do you go to Muscala, or do you just decide might as well go with whoever's on the other side because they won't have or even going down to like Damari Carroll, who maybe takes on a little bit more of a scoring role and everything else like that. Good call. I wouldn't have thought about that. I was gonna say you're right. We'll probably have to wait until the lines come out. But the whole resting on the back end or front end of a back. There's only 20 days left in the season. You know, playoffs are less than 25 days, less than a month away. It could happen. I see that happening. That's a good call. So I kind of guess to end out our first podcast in a couple weeks. Do you want to do three bust outs each? Or bust,
sure.
Busts out, and then we'll go from there?
Sure.
All right. Let's see. I'll go first. I'm gonna do some searching. I'm going to do some soul searching. Find this play. I think a player that will bust out is going to be Gravis Basket, if I can find him. Wait, let me go to the top here. They play the Lakers. Go to point guard. Gravis Basket. I feel he busts out in a major way. His shot was on fire yesterday. He hit six threes. Didn't do too much in the assist category, which is usually what he's known for. He's known for more of dime drop in, getting a couple rebounds and getting you at least 10 points. But his shot was on and he was open, and it worked out well for him. And going up against a Lakers team that's just kind of their ass terrible all over the floor. I think he does pretty well. It's going to be an up and down game, and I see him having somewhat of a repeat performance. And at 4-4, and with the depth at point guard, and you know, spending up elsewhere, you can't go wrong. And the minutes are going to be there because Kyle Lowry's out, and I don't know. It's just like too much good stuff. AM, PM. Travis Bastard bust out tomorrow.
All right. I'll stick into the same game, and then I'll go with Jordan Clarkson as a bust out tomorrow. No Lowry, which helps him. I don't really have any faith in Ross or DeRozan as defenders. He's the guy now in Los Angeles. He's put up over 15 shots the last two games, so he's going to get shot opportunities, and he's actually been filling up the box score lately, so I think we're going to have to play Clarkson tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what's been most impressive about Jordan Clarkson? It's not just the fact that he's shooting more and he's scoring more. His assist numbers have gone up a little bit, and he's getting at least a block or so a game, which is huge from the point guard position. You don't usually associate blocks with guys that are handing out the ball and everything. So, I mean, just even against the Thunder on Monday, he had like three, and they were pretty impressive stuff. So, again, those are those peripheral stats and upside boosters. So I see, I agree with you. I see Jordan Clarkson being a pretty big play tomorrow. I'll go with another bust out play, and Danny Green. 5'8". He's playing a little bit better. I think he takes on more of a role tomorrow as a scorer and defender of Monta Ellis. And he just lets the good times roll. All you're really looking for I'd say he's probably a better cash play than GPP. I think he'll be used in GPP by a good number of people, because they'll look at his recent box scores. And had the game last night not been a blowout, he probably gets 30 minutes and scores about 30. But I think he's a good cash play, mostly, because he'll get a couple threes, he'll do some steals, play good perimeter defense, and get those defensive stats and everything. But I like him a lot. I think he busts out against the Mavericks. San Antonio's clicking at the right time, just as always, and he's going to be a big part of that. So Danny Green, fire him up if you want to fire him up. I like him.
All right. I'm gonna go with... Oh, wow. Golden State Memphis is tomorrow. I didn't realize that. Oh. It's going to be a good game. Nice. Anyways, right. I'm going to go with Boogie Cousins as a bust. I don't think he'll... At 9,600, he's the most expensive center. You don't need to spend up for him tomorrow. Ashik's a good interior defender. They have length with Ajinka and Brown. I don't like Cousins at 9,600.
And this is probably going to be the first time we haven't played Cousins in about a week.
Yep.
Center's deep. He's going up against a pretty good defensive team in the front court. Those Pelicans are going to be highly motivated too. They're clinging to a shot or a chance at the playoff berth, I believe. So. They've got a lot to play for, and I think they come out and they play angry, especially after losing by, a point or two to Houston the other night. So they'll come out angry, and they'll play well. I'm going to go with a bust. That's just a fine one. I had one, and I couldn't find him. I lost him. It's going to be in that late-night game, Portland-Phoenix. Which I think is going to be on TV. That's going to be on ESPN, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't have a strong feeling for Markieff Morris, the better of the better twin that played last night. I don't think either of them play really well tomorrow. But especially Markieff, I think he gets eaten by LaMarcus on the offensive end, and I think that probably will play into how he plays in the offensive end, and he won't be worth 6,400 tomorrow. Power forward's got a couple of really nice value plays, guys at under 5K, and you don't really need to spend up for much more. I think he busts against the Blazers, who are coming in winners of two. They really need to get their shit together to have any chance of looking good before the end of the season. So it's just not going to be fun for the Suns tomorrow, and especially not fun for Markieff Morris. So Markieff Morris, bust.
All right. My last one. I love Darrell Wright tomorrow for Portland. He's only 3,700. I'm assuming Batum doesn't play. And against Phoenix, he should get tons of threes. Their defense has not been very solid. It's actually been much better since Knight got hurt and they started the Morris twins together. But Wright had a nice game yesterday with Batum out, and I don't think he'll keep that up tomorrow. So we got to get him in some lineups.
How many? Okay, so here's how we're gonna end it then. 25 lineups. How many does Darrell Wright fit into tomorrow?
Eight or nine.
So 30. Okay, yeah. I like that. So, and who was your other bust out? Your other bust out was from the Jordan Clarkson. How many times do you play Jordan Clarkson in 25 lineups?
Probably 25-30%.
25-30%.
Yeah, maybe more. We'll see. Maybe. Let's say 10. Let's say 40%.
40. Okay.
Yeah.
I can ride with that. And he's been my boy. He's been my boy for most of the second half. So I really like his play. As for me, answering that same question with a guy like Graves Vasquez, I'd say I'd get Graves Vasquez in about 10 as well. 10 to 12. I'd say that extra two is because he's $900 less than Jordan Clarkson. Gives you a little bit of extra flexibility. And then my other bust out was Danny Green. I don't know if I play Danny Green that much tomorrow. I'd say maybe 20%. Shooting guard's kind of a shithole tomorrow. But that's okay. I feel like that's an okay thing. You can figure out a way to make a few spots cheap enough to pay up for a guy like James Harden or DeMar DeRozan. I mean, hell, DeMar DeRozan doesn't look that bad against the Lakers tomorrow. So
again, yeah.
That's where I'm at. I think I'd play Gravis in about 10 to 12 and Danny in about 5. And then go from there. So, Blaine, any last parting shot before we go off?
No, I'm satisfied.
I like
the slate tomorrow.
Yeah, it's gonna be nice. It's gonna be tasty. It's gonna be interesting. And we're just gonna keep rolling on, man. We're just gonna keep rolling on. So when's the next time we're gonna tape? Because we're running out of days in the NBA season. When's the next time we're gonna tape?
We can go back to the regular schedule.
Back to the regular schedule. Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday record. Wednesday post. Thursday record. Friday post.
Sure.
Sweet deal. We're gonna do it again. So for Blaine Dunworth on the other end there, I'm Clement Uduk, reminding you to always trust your gut. Peace.
See ya.